Wednesday, March 9th, 2016, at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
We'll establish a quorum, please.
Dennis Scott here.
Kathy Yagan present.
Karen Ward here.
Steve Martinez here.
And Ken Mullinex here. I would like to ask the council to pull your mics down a little further. We're sort of doing a halfway test. And I would like to ask staff, just before we get started, so we be knowing what we're doing with these, would you just give us the simple explanation of what these mics, what you need to do to work these mics?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, you have a button down there that says on and off. Okay. And there is a red light that will come on when it is on. And you should be able to hear me pretty well and pretty well out there in the audience. So what I would like everyone to do is to make sure that red light is on and say something in it, not only for testing it right now. Yeah, you will probably need to be within, you know, if you sit way back in your seat, it's not going to pick it up as well. So do adjust with the microphones of where the placement is. But it's also the new system that it goes automatically into the computer and records. So unless the mic is on and picking up your voice, it will not record properly. And same thing for public comment. When you come up, you'll want to make sure the red light is on and speak into the microphone.
And not this red light.
Yeah, this red light is always on. So if everyone can make sure their red light is on and do, you know, say something into the mic to make sure that the system is operating how it should.
You want to start, Stu?
Testing, go beavers, beavers, card number one, beavers, beavers.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, everyone.
Dennis Scott present.
I didn't hear you as well.
Dennis, you got to get that mic to you. It's
right towards your mouth.
To your mouth.
Okay.
And the last point we have here is really because we've always known that we did not reach our senior citizens or others that don't hear well in the back of the room. So I'm going to ask you all that want to make public comments or presentations to come up to the microphone, check the little red light, and make your comments. With that, I will go on to the Pledge of Allegiance. And I'm going to ask Dobie Gillis, to lead this in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Dobie Pugin.
You're more than welcome, Mayor.
Are there any added agenda items? And there are. We should know that there is several 15s. 15s? Yes. 15A is a budget committee application, Brian Earls. 15B is the budget calendar. And I think that's it. Anything else, staff? Is there anything else? Added agenda items?
No, I think that covered it.
Okay, good. We'll move on. At this time, we will maybe test our... item number 5 is the consent agenda. Are there any questions? Comments? All those in favor? No. Somebody give me a motion and we'll approve it.
I
so
move.
I second.
Moved and seconded on the consent agenda. Further discussion, hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
We'll move on then to public comment. Is there any public comment? At this time, don't be afraid of the mics, they'll work. Okay. Hearing none, I will move on to item 7, which is a funding request for the Levine Rodeo for concert and rodeo.
Good
Candy, if you'll state your name and address when you get to the mic.
Okay. Hey, it doesn't say on.
It's very light.
Is it on?
Yep.
Okay.
Need help up there, boss?
Okay, my name's Candy Al. I'm president of Lapine Rodeo Board, and we're here tonight to kind of catch you up on what we've got going this year. We've got another incredible year. This year, starting July 1st, we're going to bring in Nashville recording artist Lone Star. So we're pretty excited. Last year was our first year with a Nashville recording artist. We had Chris Cagle. Turned out wonderful. Brought a lot of people to South Deschutes County. And I think it was a huge boost for our little city of Lapine that hasn't had much like that in the past. So we're super excited to kind of keep this going and hopefully grow on it each year. Last year, City of Lapine was a major sponsor for that concert, and I think that really was great in all the advertising. All the radio advertising, all the print said bringing to you by City of Lapine, and that's what we're hoping for again this year. So we also are going to have on July 2nd, we're going to have our Buck and Boom, which you know is the great fun bucking bowls and calves and all that. This year we're bringing in a brand new event. It's called Mini Bowls. So it's like full-grown bowls that are no taller than this right here, and the children ride them, and it's great. You know, they got the big floppy ears and all. So we're pretty excited about that. And then we have our MPRA rodeo July 3rd and 4th. It's a little different. We're doing a Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, and then Monday due to the 4th of July. So those will be held the last two evenings, and then we'll have the fireworks. You know, we'll finish up in time for Lapine's fireworks. So, do you have any questions for me?
And do they know who Lone Star is?
I think everybody knows who Lone Star is, right?
Were you trying to play it back?
Yeah,
yes.
Trying to.
Yeah.
Well, we could have put it to the microphone.
They have the number one wedding song, I think, in the entire world called Amazed. They have not had a lot of current hits. It was mostly, you know, a few years back, but they are recording a brand new album in April, and all of Nashville is saying that they think we'll have hits before our concert. It would be totally amazing. So, yes.
Any questions, Council?
Nope. Great event. Got to keep it up.
Okay.
I'll be there.
Great.
So your request is for the, or am I ahead of myself?
No, go.
No, go ahead.
You can talk about
okay. So is it a request for the entire rodeo, for the concert, or for the Buck and Boom, or all the above?
Well, I mean, we can request it separately, or we can put it all in one. It seems to me like it'd be easier all in one. Last year, you were like not a presenting sponsor, but one of our top sponsors for the concert, and that was the $5,000. So I broke it down on the second page as the rodeo and Buck and Boom is $1,700. And I know some of those funds come later in the year, and we're fully aware of that, so.
I think in order to make it easier for our budget committee, so because last year was the first year we kind of did this, so we ended up kind of splitting it over the season.
Right.
So it might be easier not to do that since we came.
Right.
Then when we do our budget coming up here in the next month or two, we're building that budget for next season. The problem is the rodeo is 2 days after the budget starts.
Right.
So it's so instant right there, that's where it gets goofy. We have in our transit room tax, because this brings tourists to the community, definitely transit room tax eligible. So in our current budget unspent, we have, we can give them their $5,000 for this, and then we've historically given them $2,500 actually. So that's $7,500. We can give them the $7,500. And then next year I think we would actually just put that is a one-item thing, and we'll have it there. This year, it's a little bit goofy where it's moving from different areas in our budget, but it's all tourism, it's all transient room tax. So whatever you want.
I agree totally. I mean that's the way it's flowing. So, but I look here, and the requested amount is $6,700.
So that's $6,500, $6,700. So you save $750. But they'll be asking for more later.
Probably, we're going to pay for the shoot flag anyway.
Yeah, one of the things we talked to them about, if we would, I was going to come back with a proposal possibly to the council, and I know that we've talked about internally offline, is if we could get the Frontier Days and the Rodeo to advertise together, we would maybe use some extra money to help them promote Lapine area. It's using a carrot rather than the stick.
That has been proposed, so
they're working on it.
Whether, you know, whether we can do that this year or not, we all know it's going to happen in the years to come, so it is in the works.
Yeah, and hopefully advertising. Because we for the audience, obviously, we hear a radio ad that says come to Frontier Days, doesn't mention a rodeo. Yes, then you hear a rodeo ad that doesn't mention Frontier Days. They're both buying an ad, and they're both on the same weekend, and when someone comes from Bend or Portland or Madras or wherever, they're coming to the community. And so we're trying to get them to be able to at least advertise together. So when you run, KSJJ has a nice upbeat ad, it's the Frontier Days and Rodeo. Whether or not two different groups runs it, that's a different discussion. But at least advertise it. And we've seen advertising full-page ads in material in Central Oregon that will just have the rodeo and no mention that there's even a Frontier Days, and vice versa. And I think everyone in the room knows that really doesn't make sense. So that's what we'd like to do.
Right.
But for the case of this, we're good. We have the money in the fund if you guys want to support it.
Council, any questions?
We're looking at 75, doing well, 5,000 and then...
We gave them 25, they're being nice. We gave them 2,500 plus 5 is what we did. That's what we budgeted, so.
So I was afraid to ask for that again because I didn't understand when that came. So
yeah,
that's where that's at.
Well, Council, the question really is while their request is for 6,700, I totally support the idea of giving them the 7,500 now and let them manage the money, and of course with the idea that after the rodeo is over and everything, I think we should maybe come back to us and say we had a great year, we used your money this way, and you know that helps everybody in the community know.
You bet.
So, any further discussion? No.
It's already there. We have the money for it. Yeah. We talked about this last year. It's sort of it's a done deal. We'll just have to, like Rick said, readjust next year's budget.
Okay. Is this coming out of restricted or unrestricted or both?
Restricted.
Okay.
Because we can do it.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve $7,500 for the rodeo's request?
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 It's unanimously approved. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and hope we see you at all four nights.
Our Lone Star is great. I know some of these songs.
You're giving your age away there, right?
They're planning on releasing their records before our rodeo. That's the plan. So that could be amazing impact on the line.
Thank you. Our next item on the agenda is funding. We've had a little presentation from the audience.
I still have some from Christmas.
Item number 8 is a funding request for a bicycle fix-it station. And if Scott, you will come forward. Name and address.
Good evening, my name is Scott Morgan, 15994 Fur Road. I am the representative for Lapine on the Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee for the county. So that's an advisory body to the county.
Check your light there, would you?
She turned it off.
Is it
I'm
ready?
Pretty sure she did it. She turned it off. Now it's on.
Okay.
Just joking. Okay. You want me to say that again?
Sure.
Okay, 15994 Fur Road, Scott Morgan. I'm a member of the Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee for the county and advisory body for the county commissioners. I want to make sure that you know tonight I'm not here on behalf of the BPAC. That's an abbreviation for it. But I'm just here as a private citizen with a recommendation. And the recommendation
is... Hold that mic closer so that we're getting closer.
How about this? So I'm here with a recommendation that the city of Lapine give $1,000 to Lapine Park and Rec to purchase a fix-it station. You guys should have one of these up front there.
We do.
Okay. And I also want to thank you for your service. and the time that you spend doing what you do. It takes time.
I'm getting a sign from the back of the room that they can't hear you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
he
needs
just pull his mic closer. That's what it's there.
Yeah.
Oh, I eat
the mic.
Or pull it up.
All right. Okay. A little bit about, you got a picture here of the bike fixing station right here. I'll try to keep it short how we got here. I came and talked to the budget committee last year about the Oregon Bicycle Hub. Lapine was the one city that stepped forward and was willing to commit to that, but the other communities in Central Oregon basically fell short on that. So I sort of kicked, punted, and tried to come up with a different idea that would promote bicycling in the area and promote bicycle tourism. This is one half of that idea. So the idea here is to buy a fix-it station or send funding over to Lapine Park and Rec so they can buy a fix-it station. Give them the freedom to put it where they want. If you want to put stipulations or some kind of MOU with them, that would be great. This is a good thing for community health. Help draw bicycle riders down into the area. We're a little bit isolated down here from Bend, and we compete with Sun River for bicycle riders that I would consider to be bicycle tourists, the kind of folks that spend money in the local area. As you can see from the picture, it's pretty solid state. This isn't the one that they have to go by. This is the one that I looked at. I'd recommend this one. There's other bike fixing stations out there. This is made in Minnesota. There's a number of them in the valley, a lot at U of O and OSU. You can find that online. You can take a look. You'll find out that they're pretty common bike fixing station. They run about $1,000 plus shipping. On the second page, can you hear me now? Okay. On the second page, you can see what one looks like. Got a place to park your bike up there while you're working on it. Comes with a number of different tools. It's high grade aircraft steel cabling, probably to prevent theft. Solid state, and you can look at reviews and different comments about the quality of the item online if you wish. It comes with a pump. It's a nice fixture. One of the things I've talked about with the, I guess that's the director over the Lapine Park and Rec, Karen Miller, is if we got this and this comes through and later on we decide to move it because it's a good idea to move it. Maybe East Cascade Transit System moves a park and ride down here or something that looks like, hey, we should move this over in that direction. I think that understanding has been established already.
Okay.
Thank
you very much, Scott. We'll wait there for some questions. I think personally this is an outstanding idea. And it's a start. The budget committee last year had said, you know, it's a little too early yet, but come back. They supported this bicycle piece about putting something here in Lapine. I would also like to mention that Scott is the Lapine representative appointed by the council to the bike ped organization in Deschutes County. So that
may carry some weight, but I just want you to know that this is a self-initiated thing after the meetings we had last summer. I understood that we had some funding to do some of the things that we wanted to do, and maybe some of that funding would be available this year. Otherwise, I wouldn't have spent the time doing this. This other half of this that I don't have to present tonight is I've been working with the people that do the Lapine Street Map, and we're adding about six different bike routes on that. There's about three on the front, three on the back. They all sort of start over at Lapine Park and Rec and the Schutz Library parking lot. So it's just a good thing to try to bring it together. My hope would be if we do something like this, we get the Newberry Eagle out there, get our article in the Bend Bulletin that we're standing this up. These kind of things get a little bit of visibility to help draw people down there. I will also be handing out some of these maps myself at the local bike shops up in Bend and handing them out to BPAC and then handing them out to some rider type groups that I know. So. I feel pretty good about it. This is as far as I'm going to go with the road bike this year. So these two pieces come together, that's great. And I'm going to move into working on mountain bike type issues for the next 6 months to a year. So I hope you take it into consideration. I'd like to see it happen. Thanks for your time.
Council, I'd just like to make a suggestion that, you know, we've got Park and Rec. I think that I'd like to see this come to the work session in a just short fashion to discuss the issue with Park and Rec and see what their ideas of where and when and what.
This includes insulation and who's going to do the maintenance part of the ramp? Is that the idea?
That is the idea here. I know we've had discussions about maintenance fees and upkeep fees before, so the idea is this would be a gift, or basically a charity funding line over the park and rec. They're in charge of installation and maintenance. Forward after that, that's my understanding. We're basically giving them, or you would basically be giving them the funding to go out and purchase a unit. It's $1,000. There's another one that comes with a, you know, a gauge that tells you exactly how much pressure you have in your tire. Though that's not $200. I don't think that's really a requirement. Most people just sort of give their tires a feel, hey, my tires are full. So I think $1,000 is the appropriate amount.
I don't think there's even a question about the amount. I think it's a good idea, but I can't speak for anybody, but maybe if we could have a comment around the thought about the money, but I think we want to go to the council work session and just chat through with Park and Rec. Council?
We have a work session coming up, so it's not like it's going to be way down the road or anything. You know,
my only concern is it looks very stable, right. But vandalism, we have some very creative people in Lapine.
Right, that's a nice, polite way of putting it, you know, and I realize that's why I mentioned the high grade, you know, aircraft, steel cabling and things like that. That's always going to be a risk. These folks do sell replacement parts. You know, and it's just one of those things. There's no free lunch. We have to invest a little bit of money and some time if we want to have bicycle tourism. And it's not just for the people coming from out of town. It's also, well, you know, there's a number of people that ride bikes around here on a daily basis. That's how they transit to work and how they commute. And I know a number of the kids do the mountain bike thing and ride around town. So it's also something for them, too. But, I mean, that's a valid point, and it always is, and it will always be wherever you install something. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Well, I think it's a great idea. When I saw it, I thought that's great. But I, too, wondered where we would put it so that we wouldn't have to worry about vandalism. I think there has to be a lot of people around to watch it to make sure that it doesn't get vandalized.
Those are good consideration points, and maybe it'll be one of my ideas that it's somewhere over by the parking lot there, by the library and a Pine Park and Rec, where maybe they have a 24-hour street light up there that helps dissuade people from trying to walk away with something. The other point, I think this year, I can't remember the school colors, I think it's blue, right? You can pick your color, you know, some of those thoughts, you know, make sure it's the right color when you go to purchase it, little items like that.
Yeah, and I think all these kind of points can be discussed at a work session real quickly. Get some connection for it all. Work session.
I agree, but I need to know if we have any extra money for this.
Well, Scott approached me about a month and a half ago with this proposal because his hope, obviously spring hasn't quite broke yet, but you know, hopefully it's around the corner. And so I know he's been working hard with the folks who put the chamber map together. They're printing an extra 1,000 this year, is my understanding, 8,500. He got those three, or is it four, Scott, bike routes?
We got six.
Six, excuse me, varying different lengths around the South County area. So when he approached me, you know, I wanted to do my research as a staff member to find out if this is something that's feasible. So looking at the budget, there's certainly funds available in the Tourism Promotion Fund for this $1,000 to purchase this equipment. And the conversation I'd had with Rick is that it really doesn't get much better than us being able to make the contribution and supply the piece of equipment and then allowing the Park District to do what the Park District does, which is put these in a place where people are going to use it, in the heart of the downtown by the community center, close to the skate park, close to where there's parking, close to where all these routes start and finish or loop through at one point. I called over and spoke with Karen, the director of the Parks District, and she was completely on board with the idea of allowing the contribution to come from the city. They will purchase the equipment. They will oversee where it's going to be installed. Scott had assured me if he needs to volunteer or anybody else needs to volunteer to help to get it installed, that will be taken care of. So from the research that I've done and the perspective that I put into it, it seemed feasible and like a good allocation of funds that are available. In terms of the work session, we do have a work session scheduled on the 23rd of this month. We do have two agenda items on there that will likely take about 45 minutes each with presentation and discussion. So it's relatively full, but if you feel that this is the route that it needs to go and time needs to be taken there to discuss it further, that's your discretion to make.
I think it would be a valuable moment or two, a few minutes, to do this.
That was your name.
Student, you have to dance.
Well, I think we've heard enough right here today. I don't think we need to take it to a work session. We've spent probably 15 minutes on it already this evening. We'd probably spend another 20 minutes on it in a work session. We heard from staff that they have already spoke to the Park and Rec District, and they're willing to take it on. I think that's the only information we need, and I think we need to just go ahead and do it, get it off our agenda, move forward with it, and let the Park and Rec take it from there. They've already got ideas of where to put it, and this way it'll be done in time for spring break, maybe. So I don't think we need to delay it any longer. I'm ready to vote tonight.
Is there a motion to take it to a work session for a short meeting with the Park and Rec?
Just remember, you can't approve it at a work session, so then you'd have to bring it back to the April meeting.
Well, my main concern was answered by Corey, is that, you know, we have the money out of the funds. It's not going to rob any funds from anything. It's taking out the tourist funds. And for $1,000, I don't know what else we can discuss. That was my main concern.
The first thing I did, Dennis, just to address that point, is to go back to the budget committee meetings from last year. Confirm that, you know, Scott was here kind of proposing this idea, and then obviously to look at year to date for how much had been spent at the budget, and we do have those funds available. So I just want to confirm that.
I'm agreeing with Stu. I don't think there's any more discussion on it.
Okay.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Excuse me.
Yeah, I know, but I need to address the council when there's an opportunity to do that.
I'll get to you.
Okay.
Then I have a question. So what about the maintenance? So what about the upkeep in the way of cutting these cables and ordering parts? And those are some of the kinds of questions that I would like to have asked. So that'll be in the bailiwick of the Park and Rec District. But, you know, keeping something up takes funds. And the idea that that, you know, it could sit there for a period of time. I just want some assurances from the Park and Rec that that they're going to maintain it in a fashion and put it in a location that's adequate for this type of an item.
You want to respond to that?
Well, I think it takes Park and Rec. So if you want to give up your chair for a moment.
Okay.
As a,
remember, I did address that these parts are available. You just order them if you have to replace one, right? So, okay.
I think assurance is around the idea that they're going to keep it up at all times.
Okay.
I just don't want to see it sitting there for a month and a half waiting for, or with two or three of the tools missing or the holes and, you know, things like that. So
all this comes to the back. Before I step away from the mic then, thanks for your time again. By expediting it tonight, I will say there's like a 4-week ordering time on this kind of a unit to get it here. So it takes a little while. Again, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're yielding to me.
I am yielding to you.
Is that the right word?
Thank you, Scott.
You got it. Very briefly, Gary Gordon, 52865 Lowell Way, Lapine. I'm the chairman of the board of directors for the Park and Rec District. Just very briefly, this is something we need to run by our board. because this is an item of expense that we don't have budgeted, and we need to figure out where we're going to get the money for. We're going to have our meeting, which will start with a work session next Tuesday, and I'll make sure that it's on the agenda first thing and have Scott over to talk about it. That way we can come back to your work session and assure you what we've done with the Park and Rec District, where it's going to go, all of those questions that I think are really important to answer, and how we're going to pay for it and keep it up. Okay, thank you very much. Gary, questions from the council.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So you're saying you don't know where you're going to put it or any of that yet?
It has not been run by the board at all. There was private conversations between our director and Scott. We're not privy to it yet. Our last meeting was about a month ago. So this is new ground for us. I don't sense any resistance, but again, it's going to be sent for the board to discuss.
I don't feel there's anything we can do then if they haven't even agreed to put it on their property. Then we gotta go to a work site.
Well, in that case, I'm not in favor of anything.
Right.
Okay. Not even a thousand.
Okay. Thank you very much, Gary.
Thank you.
And is there a motion to put it on the work session?
I make a motion to put it on the work session. If we can have an answer from Park and Rec.
I'm getting a yes from the director or the chair. Kathy?
You need a second. You have a motion.
I know. I'm asking Kathy if she's going to second.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Name.
Okay. It's 3-4 and one against putting it on the work session. We'll have it on the work session.
Yeah, we'll get that on the agenda for the March 23rd work session. Thanks.
Is that the full cost of it?
If Mr. Mayor, if we could move up Brian Earls, the vote for him. He's got to leave for another meeting, and so he asked rather than to sit here for an hour and a half if we could do that.
Then I will move to item number 15A. Nomination and appointment of a new budget committee member. Let everybody get to the page.
Hello, my name is Brian Earls, 51511 Highway 97, Lapine, Oregon.
You all have in front of you the application format, and we'll just start with some questions.
But I'm glad you applied, and I would love to see you on the board.
And I love seeing new faces, so that's great. I don't know you, and that's great.
Stu, anything?
Could you tell us some of your background and why you applied?
Well, my background, of course, I was on the Water and the Sewer Board and many budget committee hearings as well. I'm the head of the budget at the Lapine Community Church. Been doing that for about since 1999, so many years of experience in producing budgets as well as nonprofit budgets, because I used to do the whole, Kitty taught me how to do it. I don't know if that's good or bad, but the water district and the sewer district budget. So I've had plenty of experience in that particular arena. And of course, you live in the community, you should try to help out, and this is a small way of helping out, not taking a lot of time, so.
Okay.
I know that you participate quite a bit in the community, you do a lot for the nonprofits and for the church there, Brian, so I'm glad to see you apply and look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I had my thoughts to that, too. I mean, I knew about your background, and it was, to me, an obvious choice. So, Karen, anything?
I think you make a good asset to that particular committee. I've been around Brian a lot, and he does a lot for the community, and I really appreciate him putting in that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there a motion to appoint Brian Earls to the Lapine City Budget Committee?
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any further question? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
I hear a unanimous vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys. Have a great evening.
All right.
Thank you.
We're at the point of item number 9, authorized city manager to award contract for the first and Highway 97 landscape project.
Because it seems we're on the theme of putting this new audience mic to use, I think what I will do is invite the city's engineer Recker up, Eric Huffman, to just say a few words about the bid opening that happened last week and the process, the stage where we're at, and sort of looking at the construction timeline in the next few months.
Yeah, Eric Huffman, the city engineer. Yeah, the city received bids last week for the First Street Highway 97 landscaping irrigation and electrical improvements project. There were four bids received. The low bid was received from Paul Brothers Incorporated. They're a reputable firm. They're located out of Boring, Oregon, but they do work in Central Oregon. They have they recently constructed a park, Ponderosa Park, for Bend Park and Rec District, and they are also currently working on that the Colorado Dam Whitewater project for Bend Park and Rec District. The timeline for the project, once approved, once the bonds are in, they could begin construction in the next week or two. And then the contract stipulates that they're completed by May 13th.
Questions, so, Council?
Either Corey or you, you want to explain how we got this and basically tell the audience we're saving some money?
You touched on a great point there, Dennis. Back when that construction project was taking place, originally it had the landscaping built into it, essentially, and likely the bids were going to be up, or they were up near around $200,000, is my understanding of the estimates. And so someone around here, Rick Allen, had the idea to take that out and allow the city to bid it separately, and that's the process that we went through, and ultimately it'll save us tens of thousands of dollars. If some people might remember that the street light turning on, you know, was delayed by a couple of weeks, well, that allowed the city to roll in some grant funds to the project and also be able to save on this landscaping project, and in hindsight, those couple of weeks, you know, are certainly worth that. So we were fortunate to get a good bid, good company to do the work, and like we've been saying, the goal has been to have it completed by Memorial Day in May, and that should be the case.
All right.
I hate to play devil's advocate, but with creative people. But I just hope that they remember there's a big difference between Bend and Lapine as far as growing and what will work and what won't work.
The project was designed, the landscaping elements were designed by a Central Oregon landscape architect, and all the species are indicated on the plans what those are to be. And also we require the contractors to submit specifications on all the plant materials that they're going to be installing so that we can review those prior to them being installed.
And then we got 2-year guarantees on the trees. So there were elements built into the bid and into the contract to obviously make sure that the species and the different types of plants that are being put in are, you know, will thrive here, and then if not, there are mechanisms to have those replaced within a certain time period that's built into the contract.
Yeah, there is a 2-year warranty on all plant materials in the contract. So if any plant material dies, the contractor is required to replace that tree or shrub or within a 2-year period after the project is completed. Okay. So,
thank you very much, Eric. Is there a motion to authorize city manager to award a contract on the First Street and Highway 97 landscaping project?
I so move. Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, it's unanimous. Item number 10 is the approved intent to award an authorized city manager to award a contract for the Wiki Uplift Station project.
I will ask Brandon Mahon from Anderson Perry, who ran the bid process on this project and will be helping oversee some of the construction, to take a little bit of time and explain the process that we went through in the last couple weeks.
Great. Thank you, Corey. Brandon Mahon with Anderson Perry & Associates out of Prineville. It's going to sound a little bit repetitive from what Eric just gave you. It sounds like you got some parallel tracks going here with projects. That's good. You guys are busy. So at this project, we opened bids February 18th. Again, just to reiterate, this is a rebid. We bid earlier in, I think, September. This go-around had a lot more bidders, saved about 30 or 40 grand from last time. So that's good. Good competition. The firm that was the apparent low bidder is Tornado Soft Excavation, LLC. They're out of Independence, Oregon. We've talked to them. I gave you guys a letter, and this goes through all this in detail. I won't go through word for word, but we've contacted them. They feel comfortable with the project and their bid. We've talked to some references of theirs, and it sounds like they do good work. They're able to complete the project, and they're a competent contractor. So we are ready to move forward if the city is comfortable with that. And at this point, we are ready for a notice of intent. If the council moves to issue that for Tornado Soft, then it starts a 7-day public protest period. So we'll send that to the 6 bidders, and they'll have 7 days to protest if they think there's something
to
protest.
How much is the contract for?
$288,874. So
it's been a while since this goes on. You wonder, we're doing so many things, you're a person who's tracked what we're fixing and what we're,
yeah.
I mean, so this is the pump station's right out there by the parking, right? And it takes care of all that area out there. And we were having pump problems, and just the design was a little, it's been a problem for us, for staff to repair, and high maintenance. So this will fix all that. But also, this will be sized for the cable expansion, so that will not need to be done when we do that area. So it's already in there and ready. And so we could probably do this for 100 grand, but you'd spend another 200 or 300. So it was easier just to do it while we're in doing it. Plus, we didn't know if it would come and when. It's several years down the road. So,
my comments from having been part of this or listened to it and heard this before was, this is new technology.
Yeah, so
and it's really going to, because the other one was very expensive, we spent a lot of money on it, and this has got some new type of technology that will put a lifespan on it a lot longer than anything that we looked at before.
Right, yeah, the pumps you have in there now are just sewage grinder pumps. They're really inefficient. And in the past, the main line from that lift station to the treatment plant is just a 4-inch line. And so in order to upsize the lift station, we would have needed to upsize that entire line. And I forget what the cost estimate was, but it seemed like millions of dollars, or close to. And so, yeah, we're using a different pump technology, using vertical turbines. So, yeah, it's really a great solution.
And if you were having to work on it, you would really like this change. Because I think the other time that they go down, they're down in further the old system. And so if you were the one working on it, you will enjoy this much nicer. You're not as close to the product.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
In
result, oh, Kitty likes being close to those products, but
I'm on the phone end of it. I'm good.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Is there a motion to approve the intent to award and authorize the city manager to award contract for Wiki Uplift Station project?
We voted in.
So
moved.
Second.
And seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous. You got some work to do. We're going to move to item 11. It's an approval of memorandum of understanding with the Lapine Park and Rec District for Finley Butte Park. I think the council all feels that we beat this to death, and we'll take a few comments from the chair of the Lapine Park and Rec District.
Thank you. As I was, we've gone through 2 work sessions, both with Park and with the City Council, and I was in all places called Boise, Idaho, when I suddenly realized there might be a small ambiguity here that needs to be cleared up. Very, very small. In the first year, for example, if we use 2.5 million gallons, we're a million gallons short. I think it was everybody's intent that that not carry over to the next year. So I would propose simply adding under paragraph 2 a very simple sentence that says, unused gallonage will not carry over to the following fiscal year.
Second paragraph, where?
Page 2 of the memorandum.
Let me see if I'm interpreting this correctly. So there's an annual contribution built in the MOU of 3,500,000 gallons for the fiscal year. If I'm hearing the board director correct, is that if they use 2.5 million gallons, they didn't use all of that 3.5 million gallons, he is essentially requesting or suggesting that we build in extra assurance that that doesn't carry over to the next year. The way I read it is that it's an annual contribution of 35 million gallons. There's no 3.5 million gallons. There's no language of carryover either to or not, and therefore we can, but I think the way it's written is, if the intent is clear, then.
Yeah, that's the point, is that, you know, we have subsequent boards and separate readings, and someone could come along. When you say unused gallonage will not carry over, that cannot be misunderstood.
Okay. I would just say that if this is what they would like to have, we can approve this on the adding the correction to that effect.
If you wanted it to carry over, it's like your cell phone, they tell you it can. It doesn't say you can, so there's no issue. I mean, it's 3.5, it's an annual contribution of 3.5. Nowhere does it say you get to carry over your minutes, in this case gallons. So to infer that it does, because it doesn't say it doesn't, you could end up with a 10-page agreement saying it doesn't do all kinds of things that it doesn't do. So I don't think there's any ambiguity. I is as clear as it can be. I would suggest you just vote for it so we can move on to other issues that we are all busy with.
No problem.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It's unanimously approved.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, now we are at the approval of Pine Community's cemetery rules and regulations.
So at the last work session, we discussed this, and a little bit of backstory for some of the members of the audience is that a working group to put together a new set of rules and regulations for the Lapine Community Cemetery was assembled back in the fall. And two council members, Stu Martinez and Kathy Egan, were a part of that, as well as a few community members, Pastor Norm Soyster and Janine Earls. And I met with them, and we worked over several sessions to review the current state of the Lapine Community Cemetery, review other sets of rules and regulations from throughout the state, and try to come up with a draft that then would go to the council for review. And also, I did meet with Baird Memorial Chapel to sit down and get their input as well after the draft with the working group was put together. So at the last work session, we discussed this, and in its current state, what I would like, if you so do see fit, is that this is approved, and then I'll do a little more research in terms of whether we need to put it in the form of a resolution or an ordinance. I'll do that research in the next month. Stu wasn't at the work session, so I wanted to re-bring it up just before I went to that step and see if there are any other questions. So,
okay.
At the work session, you were going to add the city in certain spots responsible to the city, so you bought them in.
That change was made.
Yeah, good.
Correct. Yeah. From my understanding, that was the only change throughout the document.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other comments, Council?
No, this is nice to have it put together. Corey has worked very hard getting this done, and we need to move ahead on this.
I personally think this has brought us from a way back when there was nothing really rules other than a community partnership to do this the right way, and it was done the way that was they were capable of doing it in those days. And I think we're at a state a point in time that it needs to be done under a set of rules and using the best pieces of service we can to carry it out. So is there a motion to approve the Lapine Community Cemetery rules and regulations?
I so move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous.
Mr. Mayor, just on that note, thank you for approving that. I just would like to give recognition to Paul Cody here, who also worked with me very much early on out at the cemetery, looking at some of the issues and helping to inform what should be included in this draft. And I know he cares very deeply about that. And my hope is that these rules that you now have moved one step further will help to improve the image of the Lapine Community Cemetery.
And I would follow those comments by saying that Paul Cody has been a diligent volunteer at the cemetery for many, many years. And the success of the cemetery in cooperation with in coordination with the other three members of the old committee speaks well for what was done out there and where it is now. He's been a strong supporter, hundreds of hours of volunteer work that he never once turned from. And I'm proud to say I know him and I know what work he's done, and I'm more than appreciative, and I know the council is, if I can ask you to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay, item number 13 is the Water District Loans, USDA, and Washington Federal Refinance Option.
Okay. Guy can just do this now. See, I haven't had the same. This is a happy thing. You should be the happiest. Actually, it's things like Paul that are real, the happy things. But if you want to get monetary, this is a good one. As you know, interest rates are low, have been low, and so I've been watching our bonds that we had from the water district loans that we inherited when the districts came here, about $2.4 million. And we have a 4.5% interest rate, which is high. So back in November, I talked with Washington Federal about refinancing that and didn't know it would move so quick, actually. So we did some more meetings, we met in Madras, and they came down from Portland in their division that works on this. And then just last week, they sent me kind of a proposal where they would refi the $2.4 million from the USDA, and they will give us a loan at 2.3, and their estimated savings, we just handed out because our computers were all down today, or we still are. We have no email and stuff, so you know, we can't function anymore. If you go to this document that you all got, if you go, wait until everyone gets it, it's a handout, just a one page, you're right.
Oh, thing.
You've got to wait for the memories. Yeah. Shuffle. There, okay. Look under total interest under the RD bonds, that's rural development. What we have remaining to pay, we would pay $1.133 million in interest under the new rate, drops to $459 for a $674,000 savings. Then the requirement for the reserve, which we right now have to keep $193,000, which is in our budget. If we do this, we can lower it to $187,000, not a big deal. When you're talking these kind of numbers, $5,800 less that we have to keep on reserve. For a $679,000 difference, it'll cost us about $17,800. In the email I sent you, I estimated $20,000 because who knows when it gets into bond council, we have to pay for that. So we'll have a little overhead for a net savings of projected $662,000. That will pay the interest on that would pay over $1 million of a new loan. So when we go out to Kegel, to a degree, if we do this, it will pay. The water system is going to be $9 or $10 million. This will pay 10 to 15%, actually,
because we've been paying this, just the savings. And if we don't do this, you're going to pay it to the RD, Rural Development. So this is a pretty damn good deal, and you will never get lower interest rates than this. Oh, when we give you maybe an update later on just the discussion, we actually, the CAGL interest rates, but we'll wait till the end of the meeting, we're less than 2.3. What we got from USDA the other day. So anyway, it's pretty straightforward. I don't know how long it'll take. Could be 60, 90, 120 days because you have to go through bond councils and all of that. We got to hire a bond council. So he gave us, he wanted to know, he's a little deadline here next week. We're going to move forward because they locked, I don't know if they locked that interest rate in. But anyway, if you would authorize this, let me begin to work on this to save us net $662,000. I'd be glad to do that for you.
No brainer. Is there a motion to have the city manager move forward on the water district loans, USD, and Washington Federal refinance option?
I still move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry. Not a question. I just want to commend the city manager for jumping on this. For a chance of the city to save this amount of money, which will get us into the CAGL subdivision.
So, well said.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. And at this point in time, item number 14 is we can have staff bring that up.
So last month at your regular meeting, we reappointed Don Brainer and Gloria Fleming to the Planning Commission, and we should not have done that. We should have reappointed Norman McClung and Don Brainer. So what I need from you is a motion to rescind the reappointment of Gloria, and then a motion to appoint Norm McClung for another four-year term. Two motions. I should probably put it in one, if that's all right.
Okay.
Could maybe the council, or could we make a list of people that are on the planning commission and the dates?
But I can give it to you.
Yeah, it'd be nice to know.
It's been a work in progress, but we have one now. It's okay. Confirmed and it's there and solid.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So move to combine the motion and correct the situation, whatever it is.
So the motion is to rescind the earlier motion and to redo a motion, or to redo it.
Back up, Mr. Mayor. Your wife's cringing back there. You need 2 more minutes to move back there just to hear.
You can't. You're hearing too well. Oh wow!
She probably hears enough of you.
I haven't heard that before. Okay. So the motion is to rescind the previous appointment and reappoint Norm McClung, as the member of the Planning Commission.
Perfect.
Okay. Motion?
I so move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Council.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Other matters to come before the Council. We have a budget calendar.
We do. Rick and I worked last week to put together this budget calendar. And so, as you can see there, the first item on the timeline is to appoint the budget officer and budget committee on March 9th. And here we are. So, if you have any questions on this, Rick and I, you know, had built in the public hearings early May. Is when the meetings will take place, and our thought was to put them consecutively to then be able to keep it fresh in everyone's mind. You know, we really roll up our sleeves for those couple days, or we built in an optional third meeting if necessary to, you know, present the budget, talk through it, answer questions, hear from the public, and move forward with that process.
Okay. Is there a motion to appoint a Corey Meisley, Assistant City Manager, as the Budget Officer for 2016-17? It's moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 It's unanimously approved. And do we need to approve the calendar?
I think we present a calendar. I don't know that it has to be voted on.
Yeah.
It's just one of the requirements, and it's kind of, because it's got all these days of notices that you have to do. That's why we start at the end and work our way back. And you know, when you don't have a regular newspaper, then that's a little trickier too. Although we do use the bulletin just to make sure we meet the law, because there's been some debate around Oregon about if you have a newspaper that doesn't charge.
I've heard that.
It's not a newspaper.
Oh. And reality, yes.
Yeah, and it came up because, and you get in the city where they just have something that does a four-page blab, and then they say they're a newspaper, and then they start it, and people say, wait a second, that's not a newspaper. So it's a weird little law. And so rather than to get into that, have our whole budget at risk, we put it in the Newberry, so if it's late or early there, it doesn't really matter. We put it in the bulletin to make sure we meet the requirements. When you only have kind of a monthly, or kind of a semi-monthly, it's hard when you have 7 days and 14 days. And so anyway, yeah, and now the other thing is we have to also, which we'll add some things, we have to do, with Urban Renewal, we have to meet with them and for like 5 minutes to do an Urban Renewal thing, so we got to flush that out.
Okay.
But that's, what I'd like to do is do that on maybe one of the nights when we do our other budget, maybe meet an hour ahead, we'll do an Urban Renewal, or half hour ahead, or an hour to take a break, have snacks, get them in here.
Okay.
So.
Do you want a consensus or a motion?
Sure.
Okay, is there a motion to approve the budget calendar?
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Did I hear an aye down there, Dennis?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. It's unanimously approved. And I believe that's all the papers I got. Does staff have something else?
Is there a staff report on the booster pump station improvements in there?
There is.
Yep. Right here.
Ah. Yes.
Sure. So, one of the weaknesses that we identified, obviously, back in the fall when we had our water main issue, was that there's this storage tank with quite a bit of capacity sitting there at the Public Works office that is not holding water in case of an emergency. So obviously in the long term, one of our goals in our master plans for the water master plans that were recently updated is to build redundancy into the system, have a separate second well source coming in at the north end of town so that if in the event of an emergency at either one, you would still have that redundancy is the term they use in the system. Well, we will get there, but that will be several years from now. So in the short term, what we decided to do was to move forward with bolstering and bringing up to par that storage tank that we have at the Public Works building. And so what it needed was some not necessarily refabrication, but some cleaning, and then also to program the system as to when to draw water into it and when to move it out. Because what you don't want to do is to pull a lot of water into it and have it sit stagnant for a month or whatnot. You write code and build a program that will take care of that on its own. So my understanding from the conversations I've had with Scott Perkins is that this Powers of Automation, what you see there is a bill for the wiring modifications of the emergency switch, programming modifications, and installation and startup assistance. So what we wanted to do was bring this to your attention, let you know that this is a project we've been working on and spending some funds on.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. Did we have community projects? Did we vote on that project?
The
I don't recall that we did. We discussed it. We talked about we needed to do this. So shall we?
Go ahead. Yeah, he can give you the number. We'll just do it.
Yeah, so this is, as you probably can see in there, a bill for $9,640 to write this programming code. And from my understanding, this is the last piece that needed to be done to bring
that's my understanding as well.
That water tank into operation. So, yeah, an authorization of
to spend that
of these funds to complete that project.
Is there a motion to approve the expenditure of these funds to carry out the upgrading and other endeavors to make that?
I so move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Questions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It's unanimously approved. I think now we're at, if staff has nothing else at this time.
We'll do it under comments when we get there.
Okay, public comments time. So, Madam Mayor's wife, is, or the First Lady.
I just want to thank you because maybe I'll come to the meetings more often because I can hear now. So thank you so much for this new PA system.
Vicki agreed to come and be our test person. Okay. Any further comment? Hearing none, I will move on to staff comments.
Well, I'll keep the topic of water and wastewater improvements moving forward, and Rick sort of hinted towards this earlier on. We had a conference call on Monday with USDA regarding funding for the wastewater expansion up into Cagle and Glenwood. And essentially what we were told is that there is complete funding for the project. I think the estimates are about $10 million for the wastewater portion. And there's money there available for that project at 1.75%.
Wow.
Now, that's great, and we will pursue grants, but to know that that is there to move the project forward, if that's the best case we do, that's pretty good. Or the worst case, that's pretty good, I should say. What we'll be doing soon is putting out an RFP to solicit bids for, proposals to put together funding assistance package that will then be the binders that we go to USDA and other funding agencies to then move forward with finding out how much assistance we can get and what recipe of grants and loans that is. So we'll also be having the one stop, which is the terminology they use to essentially get those folks around the table to have that conversation and play with some spreadsheets and find out what combination of funds you can get. So we're definitely moving forward with that. I don't know if, yeah, I think everyone attended the wastewater open house, water and wastewater open house. I think most of you were there. So yeah, moving forward on those projects.
Yeah, I'd just say that the Sam Goldstein, one fortunate thing is he's the manager for the state of Oregon for kind of this race of deputy director of the USDA. And he happens to be filling in right now out in Redmond because there's someone gone. And we know Sam from the merger, had to work with him for 3 years. And yep. So it's kind of first name basis, and he knows you and calls you and likes you. And we went through hell and that whole deal. But you build a relationship over those processes. So Sam had called up a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and just basically said, I got the money to fund the whole thing. So we didn't know that. And as Brad Barrett is his mentor, partner, the junior partner, he said, that's just, whoa, Sam's just like aggressive. He wants to get it in that lowest rate. When the districts, it always bothered me because the district said we should move forward back when we were right before the merger because they had this 2.5% interest rate. And I was thinking, God, that's low. We're going to end up and it's going to be 3 or 3.5, because you just don't know about interest rates. And all along, how many of us have been saying they got to go up? Mm-hmm. Well, no lack of any intuitiveness. So when they did this 1.75, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But But the difference you just saw with 4.5 to 2.3 does, you get down to 1.75. It's not almost interest-free, but it's getting close. So that's a big deal. And that difference will lower the monthly, ultimately, the monthly payment, which is what the people are interested in. What's it going to cost me per month? Then the other thing we've talked about, one of the unknowns was, we're having them include enough money to replace everyone's tanks, basically, and things like that, because they don't have the capital to pay for that. You know, say it's $5,000 to do a new tank and the pipes and all of it, maybe it's $3,000. So we're saying include enough money in this so we can do it. Now, it could be that half of them won't need it because they're new enough that they'll work. But you want to paint the worst scenario, and then the USDA sets that money aside. But if we need $1 million less, they just lower the amount you borrow. But we want to make sure we get our foot in there. So we would go into this one stop and, you know, trying to get as many dollars of grants of federal and state combination. It could be two or three different people. And then we will do the same on the water side. And the USDA can probably loan us money. We didn't get into rates on that so much. The state has some 1% money on some of the water side. So it's almost a $20 million project. So what we're doing is we've got an ad out right now to get some people to help us put together. You have to have all this stuff in order to get, you have to, it's a bunch of paperwork, it's about as thick as this book over here, that will make us, the USDA needs all that. But it's also good for all the other loans and grants. So everyone's going to make you do it, but when we do it once, it's pretty much good for everyone. So it's a process we have to go through. It'll take some time, but we'll try to turn that out quick. It takes money to make money. In other words, this is a $20 million project. We will spend some money getting there. And that's recoverable into the project cost. So if we spend $50,000 on this, it will be able to be added to and reimbursed in the project cost.
Okay.
So, you know, you're going to find a lot of sewer water stuff over the next little while. But at least so far, the news is good. The money's available, interest rates are low, and with the refi we just did, that's all good news. So, you know, this may just work out, you know, really. And we're on it. We have some other engineers here. I want all the, you know, engineers are a bit like a hound dog. And they sniff out for miles away when there's going to be work. And it doesn't have to be funded yet. They like to get in early. But Brandon brought a new sidekick, so maybe you want to introduce yourself.
Sure.
He's one of the guys from LeGrand that's been working in Prineville in the sewer system. And he came out with Brandon, so I thought let him introduce himself.
My name is Chaz. Is that on?
Yeah.
My name is Chaz Hutchins. We're the Anderson Perry. I work out of LeGrand. As Rick mentioned, here working on the wastewater system for City of Prineville. So I was in the area, thought I'd stop by and say hi.
You're also
introduce myself.
City of Hermiston's engineer.
Yeah, I'm the City of Hermiston city engineer. I work with them. I go over there 2 days a week, and I'm their city engineer, have an office there, and also work out of LeGrand. So.
How about Eric?
Good to be with you.
Did Eric, was he okay, or do we have to, is there any new work we need with Eric?
He's okay.
Oh, he's got it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And then in the back of the room, you guys come up and introduce yourselves. And this is Barometrics, another good firm out of Bend. We met with them last week. We're meeting folks, and one of the good things, and he just left, unfortunately, right? The young man that was sitting back there,
right?
Is a, and they can tell about him, but he's a Lapine High School grad, lives in Lapine, and he's an engineer with this firm.
And a Beaver fan.
Oh, he's a Beaver, because all engineers are.
Please.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate the opportunity. I'm Jim Frost with Parametrics, an engineering company in Bend, and we've been doing a lot of work in the community for the last 20 years on water mains, sewer mains, pump stations, reservoirs, wells, you know, all the boring stuff underground that makes a community function. And I've worked a lot with Sun River, City of Bend, City of Sisters, community similar to your community, and it's exciting what you're doing with rebranding Lapine. It's a beautiful location, a lot of neat amenities around here, and I'd like to be part of that if we can share in the work and it makes sense. So appreciate letting us talk. And Ben Ewing is a Lapine grad, and he's working for us. Went to OSU, I did too, and they produce some good engineers, and we just love to be part of your community and part of the work. And Cedar?
Yeah. Hi, thank you for letting us talk. I'm Cedar Simmons, and I work with Parametrics as well. There's 10 of us in our office in Bend, and I'm pretty new to the Central Oregon area, less than 2 years now, but I'm from the coast, Coos Bay. And I worked for an engineering firm over there for about 9 years, doing same thing, water, wastewater. Right now we're doing a water tank for Crooked River Ranch Water Company out of Parametrics. And so we're in construction on that. It's very exciting.
RD.
Yeah, and that's USDA RD funded as well, grants and loans.
All right. Well, glad to have you around, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. Thanks for coming. Scott's job announcement is out. Some of you might have saw it on our website, but if not, it's out. And we have had some applicants. We met with one person brought it to us yesterday, good applicant. Met with them just for kind of a pre-talk because they wanted to, and they dropped it off. And so we're getting good interest so far. And that closes, I believe it closes on the 18th. So our goal is to, you know, do the first part of April, kind of, you know, you need to flush them out a little bit, and then but roll them in for an interview, because Scott's leaving in the end of May. We'd like to get them here around the first part of May. It has to be the 8th or 10th, but
just so they can overlap.
Yeah, work together for a couple, 3 weeks.
First part of April or May?
May is when we get them here. They got to give, if they have a job, they got to give 2 or 3 weeks notice where they are, so whenever they can get here, but we'll have a definite overlap.
Into the May period. Okay.
Yeah, because Scott's done at the end of May.
End of May, right.
Yeah, the end of May. And so we'll interview committee, and we'd like to have a couple of you, so it's not a quorum, help interview this position, and you guys can fight that out if you would like. But we would like to have a couple of you help, you know, if we do more, then it becomes public needs, more complicated. So
I'd like to participate in that.
I would love it myself.
Well, don't look at me. Just the staff.
Anybody else? Any?
Andre.
What's that?
Tell.
The other thing we could do, if you wanted, if there's more interest, you could do a couple of you, and then a couple of you can, you know, rotate out to renting, do a flip flop. If you know, it's a good position. It's a new one in the sense that it's the first time we've hired a public works person. You know, Scott came from the districts, did a good job for us, and you know, he's been great to work with. And I mean, I've enjoyed him. You know, working with Scott this whole time, and you know, that was a tougher time when you kind of come together like that. So, but it gives us a chance then to kind of look fresh now, because it's a whole new thing. So, you know, he's going to be Corey's right-hand person, and you know, in a city like ours, you know, it's your city manager, then, you know, it's your public works manager and your planning director, because we don't do cops and fire. So those really are, if you think of all the things we're doing, it's water systems, roads, it's really, that's where we are. So if three or four of you want to do it, we can certainly have, we can split that up. That's the one way, you know, where you can, and then you can let us know what your kind of choice is, and you know, then Corey and I can hire them, if that's something you'd like to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is administrative.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be it's an exempt position, so they won't get paid overtime. They will be at our meetings, and that's are a management exempt position. And so yeah, it's a top, you know, and depending on who gets hired, again, you know, they'll grow with the job depending on their skill level when they get here.
Okay, then I think what we've got here is that we've got the whole council wants to be a part of it, and you guys can figure out what the rotation is. How to do it.
Okay. We'll do it.
All right.
It's okay. But, you know, it's okay on those upper jobs. I mean, if this was the person in the plant, we'd say, no, you. But I think for this, I'm comfortable. And I think it starts the person out knowing they have support. Mm-hmm. If you agree with it. If you don't, then they know they shouldn't take the job. But okay, we'll work on that, and that'll be sometime in the first couple weeks of April.
Okay.
Somewhere. We're going to meet on the 20th. I sent out an email, and some of you responded, some didn't. If you could meet on the 22nd, it was at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock to kind of talk about any budget things. It helps us build the budget. You know, if there's some things that are burning, you know, like the sound system, you know, was something that you guys always said, hey, we really want to make sure you prioritize that. And so that was the idea of that, to kind of give us some direction, because otherwise we're kind of guessing. So if you guys are okay with that, you know, 2 o'clock, I did 2, so that you would be pretty well done with your day, Ms. Ward. Hopefully, is that okay? Can you do that? And you could spend a couple hours, spend 3, whatever you want, but give you plenty of time to kind of, and then the other piece of that will be my exit and how we're going to transition to this new rising star. You know, you get kicked to the curb. You know, it's just like an NBA player or something. You know, you kind of got the 10 seats, you just move your way down, and then you get off, kicked off the end. And so, you know, I'm kind of moving over. We want to kind of figure out a plan with you guys as to how we transition and what's the best way, kind of when to kind of figure it. Corey and I have talked about it, but it's an important thing, and how to do it and make it work so the public knows and we know, and then what goes after that. And it also a little bit affects our budget, so how we do that. So if that's okay with you guys, that's what we like to do.
It's planned in his message that it came out was from 2 to 4 on the 22nd here at City Hall.
Okay, so.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to order a speed trailer. We've got Scott looking good. The speed trailer, that's another item that's been in the budget before, is where you tow it around town, and so it says if people are going over 25 or whatever. We're trying to get one that it'll keep track of the number of cars and also the speeds of cars. So you can actually get an average. It will tell you what people are truly traveling. And when someone says, you know, there's 100 cars a day on a road, and the machine says there was 10, you know, we'll know. And so anyway, I think that'll be, it's another thing everyone wants. And the public works land up, we'll move it around town, and based on areas where kind of people are complaining. And I know that's been something that you guys have talked about. They're going to be 10 to 20,000, 15,000-ish to get a good one that will run for several days, you know, because they got to be battery or solar and all that. They sit out there along the road. There's no electricity. So, what other things? There's so many that
I don't. I don't necessarily know if I have anything to add to that list. The work session that we have coming up, we'll have a couple guests there. I know we've talked a little bit briefly about the University of Oregon Sustainable City Year program. So Megan Banks, the program director, is scheduled to be here on March 23rd to give a presentation and overview for the council, and also to answer some questions and to sort of deliberate on, you know, the steps moving forward with that. Because we would need to know that for budget purposes, and also just the timeline of really securing the program, because it starts in the academic year, so that would be fall of 2016. And then also Tom Kemper will be down to give his annual update on, call it, the housing situation status in South County. And then we'll have the fix it station on there as well. That's the agenda so far.
Okay.
2 weeks from now.
Anything else?
I have something. The Government Ethics Commission, your statement of interest. Does everyone remember that? You don't know what it is, but I'll clue you in. They are no longer on paper at all.
Right.
They went all paperless. So I signed everybody up, and they're going to come out around the 15th, and they're going to come to your city email address, because I couldn't put 4 email addresses, I had to put only 1. And if you have trouble with them, give me a call. But those need to be completed and back to the Government Ethics Commission. I don't remember the date, but they're coming out on the 15th. And I wanted to warn everybody to watch for them, because it's a new system, and we don't want to have anybody skip it. And that's it.
Okay. Council, it's your turn.
Well, I'll start first.
Sorry, man.
No, go ahead.
I'll start first. I just think it's such a joy to have
assistant city manager and a city manager that can save us $600,000. They didn't have to do that. I mean, that's just, it is a show how a city can be run if they have the right people. I just want to thank you guys.
I second that too. Appreciation sometimes doesn't seem to go far enough, you know, for what you've done and where you brought us and continue to do. It's sometimes you don't have the right words to say thank you. You know, it just seems so simple. So I appreciate that. The other thing I want to ask about, I asked about this last year. I have this need to know when we have a new, I've talked to Corey a little bit about it, when we have a new business in town, it just ticks me off when I have people coming up asking me questions about the new grocery outlet and the dollar store, and I have to come in and find out about it. I don't know if it could just be on the agenda if somebody's come in the last couple of weeks to put new business or something, so we would know what's going on better. As far as, you know, the new things, it seems like the rumor mill travels much faster.
I'll start, then Corey, you can do the chorus. We hear that from everyone. It's a trickier than you think. Our general rule that we've been trying to do is that when someone makes application, if someone asks, it's technically more a public record. So someone could actually get a copy of the application. Prior to that, and often these can go on for months, a whole lot of people may know bits and pieces, or some may know all because it's the property that they're buying. And that family can go around town and talk about it. And they can tell their neighbors and friends and whoever else. Of course, then that spreads around. But yet the reality is we don't have an application. It's not a public record. Now, that doesn't mean that we've talked to someone. If I was to send an email out, or Corey, every time we talk to someone about building something, you're doing a disservice really to those people, because it can affect, they maybe haven't signed in a purchase agreement, maybe they don't have it locked up yet, they don't have their financing, they can be competitors that don't want them in town. You're really on dangerous territory, and you know, Facebook didn't come to Prineville. We worked on that for a year and nobody knew it. Not the city knew it, the county knew it, but you can't, and if I send you all an email, it's a public record. There is no way. So, I guess the easiest is, if it's something we can tell you, call and we can kind of tell you. In the case of a particular property, and I think I might have mentioned, I know it always runs together, but I got chewed out over the fact that I wouldn't tell them whether or not they were going to have to move from their property. And I said, well, you need to call your landlord. I said, and then they were very mad at me because they felt I was keeping something from them. And I said, you have a lease, yes. It's month to month. I said, well, if you have a month to month lease, you don't have a very severe lease. They can give you notice anytime, 30 days. I said, it's not my lease, it's your lease. And, and they felt we were withholding something. I said, you need to call your landlord. Well, what happens there? Sometimes there's friction, or there's some things, and the landlord doesn't want to say, because the landlord doesn't know that the deal's going to happen. So the landlord doesn't want to tell the tenant that you may have to leave. Do you see what I'm saying? And so we try to share it. And I did kind of get upset with our Chamber of Commerce the other day, because they, they got a little ahead of themselves. And they were emailing some national chains about, are you coming to La Pine? And that's what I said in my email to them, that's fairly junior high-ish. And of course the response was what you would expect. I can't comment on anything like that. And you're never going to get a comment. And that doesn't behoove us, as we're trying to work on things. We have, she used the word, those words aren't coming out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. She used something, I don't know, we'll see. But we've had other retail chains that we've talked to. I had one this week that called, now they didn't tell me who they were, You know, we talked about properties. And so we try to balance what we think is what's right and what's wrong. And I don't know if we're hitting that balance correctly. It's very hard for us to worry about the rumor mill.
Well, and Rick, I'm not sure. You know, I know there's a lot of things that go underneath that have to work themselves out. And but it seems like at the point where they get a business license, don't they know that they're
business,
going to be doing that?
That's a whole other scenario, Kathy.
Well,
so
that's what
Sure.
Okay, so what you're telling me is possibly that some of this rumor hasn't been settled enough to say, okay, they've come in and actually said, this is what we're going to do.
We have no business license on the business you just mentioned.
Correct. So
okay.
But let me just say that I think Rick pointed out, excuse me, that until they bring a site plan in and they actually take out the paperwork, we're not at liberty to do anything. But once that becomes a public record, then that might be a point where the council or where the staff advises the council that here's something we know about.
And Ben, I don't know if on our opinion, do you know, I'm asking Ashley and Mr. Wayne, because you guys need to check the mic. Does it say, one thing we might want to add to the bottom of our building permits and things, it says, you know, once you file this as a public record, does it say that? I mean, our business license says it's a public record.
No.
But
no. I'm 99% sure that it doesn't say that.
We can even ask Jeremy if that's when it should become a public record. We have people that change signs. Maybe we could permit applications. Yeah. Like a lot of them, I mean, they just don't want it out on the front page or something. I mean, it's what they're doing. If someone comes and asks, but it's where do you do it? But for sure, prior to an application for a building permit, I know it's can't. And usually they've talked to us several times. We might have had a pre-application meeting, you know. Yeah, you know, we're working on mini storages, three of them.
We have two applications. Expecting a third very shortly.
Yeah, and you know, we've worked with all those for months. But you know, they'll compete. And, you know, it's got to be kind of careful. We don't want to run people off. We're willing to share whatever we can.
I understand that part too. I do.
Yeah, I would second what Rick said earlier, and my recommendation would be to call or stop by City Hall, and I feel comfortable giving any of you, whoever is sitting on the council, an update with what I know, understanding that it is as much your duty as mine to keep that as, you know, kind of internal knowledge until it moves to that stage. Now, if you want to print out at the end of the month of new business licenses, that's something we could put together if you,
same with new permits,
if you thought that was necessary.
You can always stop by and we'll tell you, yeah, we have this application and it says retail space, it says storage unit.
We get caught up in the process of just moving through the day's work, that a lot of times this smaller stuff is very much, you know, if it's something that is big and needs attention, it will be on the agenda for your attention. Otherwise, the doors are open anytime to come and ask questions.
I think your comment about having a list would actually be better than having five of us coming in here interrupting staff and that. So maybe the business license,
we could have Patty, maybe Patty every, you know, the month, as they come in, just send out the new. You could send a, you know, like I signed two today, I think.
Okay.
Construction company out of any, you know. A lot
of them are from companies that you won't necessarily see around town, because anybody who even is outside of the city limits coming into the city limits to do business, we require a business license. So I would say possibly the majority of the business license we have are from companies like that, or maybe 50.
Yeah, you know, I think the retail is what people care about.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's more interest. That's true in any town, you know, and because people are excited. And that's really true. And, you know, we expect, I think St. Charles is going to apply next week. That one's been out there because it's been in the newspaper about the land from the county, so there's no secret there because they're buying public property. And we're doing a zone change for them, so they'll actually apply for their property. They've hired their contractor, and so, you know, that one will be coming. And we're hoping to get one of these retail stores.
Would be nice. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Counselor?
Would it be possible, instead of sending out emails, and like today your email system wasn't working, just include that in your staff report at the end of the month? You know, a summary, instead of sending something out every time you get a business license. Once a month at the
council. We could do it at the council meeting,
yeah.
Just kind of walk through. We get any of the permits that
because they're going to be so busy, you know, staff is so busy right now, that I think a once a month summary of everything would be.
Well, then you can go to the planning commission too.
My thought was, if it was all right with you guys, we would just put it in your agenda packets for this meeting every month. Not, it doesn't even need to be on the agenda. It'll just come on the packet. If you have questions about it, you can address it, and that would save us a significant amount.
You can put the address, what the permit's for, whether it's a sign permit, you know,
okay,
whatever, something like that.
Okay, sounds good, counsel. Okay.
Yeah.
Karen, you got anything?
It was a good meeting. We made a lot of decisions tonight, and we did it in a very short length of time.
Stu, do you have anything?
No.
Okay. Thank you. The mayor's comments are: be sure to set your clock back Saturday, and I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded. We're adjourned.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, we're setting our clocks.
I just wanted to see if anybody.